A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You a fan of the Ten Commandments? Yeah, I'm not. I can never remember them. I'm sure if I really, really tried, I could come up with at least 12. And I never remember the order. People come into confession, "I sinned against the eighth commandment." I don't know what that is. Years ago, I was out in Yuma. I was vicar for the local high school. And a freshman retreat was being held. And the deacon at the high school called me up and said, "Father, I want you to give a talk to the freshmen during the retreat." "All right. About what?" "Talk about the Ten Commandments and all the different categories, where all the different sins, which ones they fall under." "No. No." "What? Why not? I don't like them." Well, later that week, I was pastor of the non-Catholic parish. That's the rumor that was going on. That priest isn't Catholic. Here's my difficulty with the Ten Commandments. I don't have anything against them. They're good. They're wonderful. Great reminder. Something to jog the memory. But they are not the be-all and end-all of discipleship. And too many embrace that. Paul is against that. What does he say? We are not justified by the law. we are justified by faith. We are not justified by just following a set of rules, just making sure that we tick off the boxes, this list. So, okay, I have not cheated, I've not stealed, haven't lied. I love my mother to death. Paul's saying that's not enough. Not justified by the law. When you hear that word justified, think right relationship, because that's what he's talking about. That's what he's pleading for. For us to be in right relationship with God, right relationship with others. And the difficulty of just going through a list, jumping through hoops, checking off boxes, is that there's no relationship. And for a disciple, it means that we can keep Jesus at arm's length. We can go through the motions, but we don't have to enter into relationship. We don't have to change. We don't have to be transformed. We don't have to make that movement away from sin and to become a loving person. And that's what Paul means by faith. We are justified by faith. We are justified by that personal commitment to discipleship. We are justified by Jesus himself being in relationship. We are justified by allowing him to transform us. We're in right relationship with God and with others when we deny self, when we pick up our cross. We're in right relationship when we make that movement from selfishness to love, from sin to love, from looking inside to looking outside. We become justified when we are transformed to be like Christ. And it is a journey. A journey for all of us. And it doesn't happen overnight. But that's the role of a disciple. To make that movement. To be totally committed to following the Christ. And to allowing him to transform us. And to become Christ for others. How does Paul put it? Yet I live. But not I. Christ lives in me. Ideally for Paul, every encounter that he has, people recognize the Christ. Isn't that what it means to be a disciple? The greatest commandment of all, to love God, love neighbor. And if we do that, everything takes care of itself. Totality of our being, loving God, loving neighbor. We don't have to worry about anything else. We will become the people that God calls us to be. We will be like Paul. Everywhere we go, people will not recognize us, but will recognize the Christ. Prayer for all of us, that we may be justified by faith, that we may be in right relationship with God, with others, by our commitment, trust, faith in following the Christ. That every encounter that we have, people recognize, not us, but the Christ.